17-year-old father, Dr. Tangerlini, who is here this morning. So. He didn't want me to introduce him last time in case he didn't finish. He did in a record time of 8 hours and 35 minutes. So I'm very proud of my dad, and I'm glad he could join us today. So with that,
congratulations and welcome to WMATA, Mr. Tangerlini.
I'll turn it over to Mr. Hughes to talk about the ups and downs of escalators and elevators.
As you mentioned, our escalators, this ongoing process for the elevator and escalator, and Mr. Acosta will bring through that early question.
Good morning. I'm here today with two separate items. The first item is to obtain approval to extend the contracting authority for preventative maintenance for 4 more years through fiscal year 2010. As we continue to convert units to in-house as our apprentices graduate from the training program. And this action would require $42.9 million over the next 4 years. The second item in front of you is to obtain approval to initiate an award procurement actions to rehabilitate approximately 200 more escalators. These escalators represent the interior platform units and also the remaining balance of the original program. And that action would require $50 million over the next 6 years.
The board is aware, we're in the middle of a multi-year program to bring our escalators back up to a standard, both from a maintenance perspective and also from a rehab perspective. We have our escalator availability has increased over that time as we bring them up to standards for maintenance and finish the rehab. We're now running at about 93.5% of availability. These two programs combined continue that maintenance for it. As Mr. Koss mentioned, last year for the first time we've begun to take the outside maintenance back into internal as our workforce has been developed and comes up to standard. So that program itself we expect to continue over the next 4 years. Again, about the rehab program, we've completed 181 rehab escalators. All of that 181 is external escalators. Coming from the surface to our mezzanine areas. We've got another 38 that are under contract presently being worked on, either physically out for rehab or engineering and they're in the program. This additional approximately 206 of them are the first escalators that we're doing that are internal escalators. They are the escalators between the mezzanine and the platform. Quarter ones, they've been covered. It is the older ones, they are our problematic ones that we're doing that for, that so that we're moving from external escalators to internal escalators to do that. And as a side note to that, staff has begun to look at the issue and analyze and understand the issue of what are our options with those escalators. We talked briefly before with the board about do we want to do something with those short escalators. Distance-wise is the shortest, so we want to take them out and replace them with stairs, save some maintenance costs, manual maintenance costs, a rehab cost, put stairs in, maybe reinvest that dollars that we would save from that, turn it into other needs that we have that deal with vertical transportation, maybe redundancy in our elevators at our transfer location. So we've begun that analysis, how much the annual maintenance cost to maintain the escalators, whether it's us or a contractor. We have not completed how much it would cost to take them out and put stairs in. We're thinking, just put your mind in the right frame of mind, similar to what we have at Union Station. At the south entrance, one side, there's an escalator with a stair right next to it. And it gives people, the escalator is an upward mobility, and the stairs can be both ways. Helps get the crowd. And does different things with maintenance and cuts our maintenance costs down and gives some flexibility for when there are problems with escalators. So we've begun that analysis. This contract for the 206 gives us some flexibility to deal with that in terms of where we would go in the future. So that is something that us to bring forward in the future. But to get back to where we are and what we're asking today, we are in the middle of a program. The program is working. Our reliability, our availability is up, and we want to continue that.
Okay, thank you. Let me just ask before we go any further. Mr. Faulkner, for two items, I just want to clarify, both of those are included in the same document.
There's one action item
in the package. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. Mr. Lynn?
Of course, I think we need to do what you're doing in terms of continuing to maintain and trying to focus on rehabbing the remaining elevators that need attention. But to be honest with you, I'm more interested in the second matter in terms of, I'm new to the board, but I've been in this region for a while, and this whole issue of elevators for Metro is long-standing, continuous problem. And a lot of it's structural, a lot of it, you know, the way something was built and developed, and we're learning new something from a lot of things where the system is built and developed. Keep that in mind as you go through your project and all this. that, you know, hindsight, you know, you don't want to repeat those problems. But, I am more concerned about what do we do to really examine where we are. Because if we continue to make these continuous investments in repair and maintenance and outings, but if that's is a result of poor structural issues within the system, then we're going to continue to be wasting money, in essence. So really examining, as you suggested, are there places where we could use stairs rather than elevators? Have we looked at all the places where we need to have coverage to prevent water and seepage and other kind of things that cause the escalators to deteriorate? Are we looking at the long-term fixes that we need to focus on? And how much attention are we going to
do? Let me start by answering and saying that we had a long set of conversations about myself and Mr. Hughes, myself and Mr. LaCoste, looking at this next order of investments. And I was concerned that we just go out and pour concrete around, if you don't mind the description, of what we had, the decisions we had made 30 years ago. These interior escalators are our smallest escalators. They're about 14, 15 feet tall. But the investment we're talking about here would only rehab half of them. And I think that that gives us an opportunity to ask the question about the second half. And I think what we owe the board is a full life cycle cost analysis and say, by making that decision, if you go forward on rehabbing that other half, which represents about a third of our population of escalators, and therefore a third of our maintenance costs going forward, you should have some sense of the trade-offs that you're making. One of the interesting things that we've been scratching our heads how to pay for is additional elevator redundancy at the transfer stations, where, you know, if you are a disabled person, you can get trapped if one of those elevators is out. It makes it very hard. Where would we get the resources to make that investment? Where are we going to get the resources to finish the canopy program? The question is, by looking at the resources we're spending now, are there other ways that we could spend them that would yield the resources necessary to make those investments? And that's the kind of analysis that Mr. Hughes and Mr. LaCoste are working on right now, bring back to the board, so that you then get to make a choice as we move forward on the rehab.
I really appreciate that. I think that's
just had one thought when he's coming to that. As we get this, we've started, I mentioned the actual cost analysis and life cycle, we're not there, but that's sort of easy. We also need some input from the Elder and Disabled Committee. Where are their priorities? And I think we've heard that, but we need to do that. There's also the Iraq feedback and going to give and take feedback. So we're going to set up a process to here's where we are, here's where the facts are coming from, here's where we're hearing both from the committee and also the Iraq Committee, and we'll bring that whole thing forward.
Mr. D.
Just one, it should take about 3 months. I mean, they are shorter, but the process is still the same. The only thing that would reduce reduce the time would be the assembly and disassembly of the step bands.
So for each one we have will be at 3 weeks?
Roughly. Now, we are looking at ways to shorten that time as much as we can because we're concerned that these are interior units along the platform, which, you know, there's not a lot of extra room. There's going to be some people flow issues, I guess would be the best way to describe it. So we've done this before. We experienced this when we did the safety upgrades back, I want to say, around the year 2000. It was before I got here, but there was some issues and with crowd control, and we actually accelerated some of the work by having the contractors work overtime and work at night and put the units back together in the day. I don't know if that would be useful in this, but we are looking at it.
When this bid goes in, is there going to be an incentive for early completion of work? Or can you work around the clock? Or, you know, I'm not a big fan of going off the overtime dollars unless it can be productive. It seems like 3 months is a long time to be an escalator at the system that you do every day of the year.
Well, one of the issues with working around the clock, and especially in this market right now, the elevator and escalator companies have a workforce shortage. You know, if you look around, there's cranes everywhere. The construction industry is booming, and in every one of those buildings that's going up, they're obviously putting in elevators. And I mean, we can put it out on the table. I don't think that the industry can support working around the clock right now without importing people, and I don't know how cost effective that would be.
I would just like to say to balance the cost, you know what it costs. So you have several choices.
Okay, we can do that.
Sure. I think that would be great. I just think that the nods that colleague questions, I know that we are in training our own. And I think that's reflected in the fact that there's not a lot of able bodies out there in the industry that are in fact doing this. I don't even know what the response is going to be to an RFP. I don't know how many companies that are out there now that are actually doing this. And two, what the availability of the workforce would be to accommodate a round-the-clock type of effort to get this done quickly. You know, it's always good to ask the question and see what the response is.
Put things in the out in the RFP that include incentive, so each community work around the clock and let them work out what they could do to make that available. Probably the best way to do that. I think that there's something to us.
I can attest it's a great time to be in the construction business right now. on the issue of downtime, though, and the rehab of these escalators, when you're doing these comparisons, can we just see, I imagine you've already analyzed this and there's a reason for it, but can we just like see it laid out before us? What does it take cost-wise and time-wise to install a new escalator? And in the rehab world, what is that cost differential and what are we paying in time to deal with rehab versus just saying, tear that thing out and put a new one? Maybe you know already. If you don't,
we've done this in the past, it's probably worth an updating for you. We did it. It was 4 years ago.
Well, that predated me, so that's why I don't.
We'll
know.
Do this. What I'd like to propose to you is either at the next operations committee or prior to that, we'll do that as a question and distribute that information.
Particularly the time quotient would be interesting. I mean, if it's the same, it's the same.
There are other things Mr. LaCosta and I were talking about. There may be things that Metro does in evaluating, inspecting, managing this work that may actually slow things down. So one of the things I want to look at with Mr. LaCosta and our folks from our capital group is, are there some business process reengineering efforts we can make that we aren't part of the delay? We don't add a moment to the 3 months.
I was just about to ask that, but you would have that. We've done recent station openings for and did we not have some of that? And I guess one of the really interesting parts that we've done new installations. I would assume that there may be some change in the industry for those installations relative to what we were dealing with. And we've added, what do we know about that?
Yeah, I assume that there's some answer to that, but I think it would be good for us to know the differential in that, particularly when, because so many of these rehabs, I think you end up getting into items that might be peculiar to a particular station because bent this way, that way. You know, I see that I've had the past several months' experience of watching Shady Grove, and I often have guys trying to analyze what they're doing with something as I'm going down. Geez, what if we just ripped it out and put a new one in? It'd be that much easier. I mean, maybe there's cost associated with that's prohibitive, or the time isn't that different. But I certainly would like to know. Any other questions on that item? Questions? Would someone like to move the recommended document that's in the package? Moved by Mr. Deegan, second by Mrs. Hudgens. Any further discussion on the item? Chair, hearing none, questions called, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the motion is agreed. So, thank you very much. The next item on the agenda this morning, then, is FY07 rail service strategies, off-peak service improvements. Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to bring you through this. There is one item in front of you. It has, again, two different parts of it. Both of them are off-peak service improvements. I will go through both of them. There is one item I'm trying to move forward. On the map in front of you is a proposed off-peak Yellow Line service improvements. It increases the off-peak rail service by extending the Yellow Line from up to Fort Todd and from Mount Vernon. Thank you, John. That job doesn't work here. It would be an extension of the service on weekdays in the middle of the day and in the evening. Be an extension all day Saturday and Sunday, and we are proposing that it be an 18-month reimbursable project from the district. To do this, it is about $3 million a year, $4.5 million for the 18-month demonstration project to make this particular project happen. We would have to make some signal work improvements up at Fort Totten, because we would be reversing trains on a line of service. Not a lot of improvements, but we would have to do some signal work improvements. It also improves some capital improvement for our signage and our maps, so everything reflects what we're doing on the Yellow Line. This Yellow Line extension, John put the map back up for me just so I can say a few words about it, is really in response to the growth that's happening in the inner portion of the Green Line there, Columbia Heights, Georgia Avenue. Since we've opened that section of the railroad, our ridership has grown tremendously. There is more development going on in that area, including new stores opening in the near-term future. So we are proposing that we increase the service. The service would increase from approximately, it runs every 12 minutes now with one line running through there, running 2 minutes through, two trains through there would run approximately every 6 minutes. We have had some community outreach for this program, and we want to bring it forward as a demonstration project in conjunction with the district. Second project I want to talk about is the Red Line. Red Line is presently in the off-peak. We run two services. One is from one end to the other. Second one is shorter trains that start at Grove and go to Silver Spring. We've seen tremendous growth on the western portion of this. This demonstration project would eliminate the Grosvenor turnback or have all trains go to Shady Grove, again in the off-peak. This would be weekdays in the middle of the day, all day Saturday and Sunday. We do not do that turnback now in the evenings, weekdays. because it's not there. On that end of the railroad in the past 5 years, we've seen about a 25% growth in our ridership, opened up a number of parking garages to get our riders there, and the development in that area continues to follow. We are again proposing that it be an 18-month demonstration, and that the cost to do that for the 18 months is $2.25 million, and we're recommending that be a reimbursable project by the state of Maryland. Both of these projects we're recommending will be ready to start as of January 2007. The 18-month demonstration would put us back on a fiscal year cycle beginning the year after that. Move my presentation.
Thank you. Mr. Graham, would you like to move the resolution as proposed?
Yes, thank you. I'll move
it. Chair will second. Mr. Graham and then Mrs. Hutchins.
I just want to state my enthusiastic support for this entire proposal. I think this represents the ability of this authority to act in a very creative, impactful, and relatively inexpensive way to provide greater services to our ridership. Particularly if I may speak to the Yellow Line extension, which I'm pleased to be the sponsor of this proposal, with the support of Mrs. Mack and others. And I do want to acknowledge the mayor and the Department of Transportation and the union in his prior role and his current role. As with other projects that are successes, there are many parents. You know, failure is an orphan, but success has many parents. But anyway, what we have here is a very important expansion of services into the mid-city stations. And as Mr. Hughes has noted, the fact that we now know that we're going to develop at Columbia Heights Metro Station, and in significant part due to the Columbia Heights Metro Station, by the way, is going to be 550,000 square feet of retail centered around a Target. And this is now, in fact, the formal dedication of this project is scheduled for May the 5th and May the 6th. At Columbia Heights. And so this off-peak service, this service on Saturdays and Sundays and in the evening, is of critical relevance. In addition to that, it will relieve some of the pressures that have already been referenced in terms of the heavy ridership that we're experiencing on the Green Line, which from the very, you know, the Green Line is open. When I became a member of this board, it had been worked on for many years, but we were startled at the high ridership that occurred instantaneously on the Green Line, and Mrs. Mack and others will remember that. And so we relieve that pressure. It also gives us a direct route to our national airport. And so, you know, there are multiple advantages to this, and what makes it all particularly sweet is the cost, because this is a real bargain in terms of the bang we're going to get for these bucks. And I'm pleased that the District of Columbia has agreed to fund this in its entirety for the demonstration project, and we have the money available to do so. So from every angle, I think this is a win. It's most definitely a win for the neighborhood that I represent when I'm in my other role as the council member for Ward 1, and so I'm very pleased to support this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mrs. Hutchins.
First, I think a technical question again. It is right after the recommendation that talks about it says in the write-up of the recommendation, the operational cost is 4.3. It doesn't have a page number. I assume it's one after the diagram on the red line.
It's actually page one of the executive summary.
I just think, again, we need to cross out numbers because it says operational cost of 4.5. And I think, again, had a math problem. It should be capital operational, should it not be? If you look in the bottom, you're
right. No, actually, the operating cost is, in fact, $4.5 million for 18 months. It's $3 million a year. And the capital is $1.25 million.
Okay.
And that's for signs and signaling equipment.
Okay.
So
they're separated.
They are separated. And if you go to the first slide, actually page one of the slides, you'll see that it separates the operating and the capital for a total.
Okay, my copy just doesn't have those numbers.
expansion because I think it is a reflection of growth in our system and demand in our system. And I understand exactly your need here, and I hope that we can see the same kind of understanding of the growth and the need as we go forward into the Dulles, Florida. I wrote in this morning with all of the tourists that were coming in, and we were all crowded. But it also reflects as our numbers did. And so as we talk about expansion in the system throughout, I think we all
I don't have a report prepared for the board, but we've done a couple of things. The first, just to brief everybody, we took a couple of trains out of the Orange Line. We configured the trains, put the main car trains out there, the same number of cars through in the same capacity. First couple of weeks we ran that, we did have slow trains, and we worked with our operations, our operators and our station managers and our platform attendants to keep the trains moving. So we've used the month of April, first couple of weeks, we did the analysis in terms of what our performance is during that peak period. And it is slightly improved. I don't have the numbers in front of me. We also last week surveyed our riders to get their reaction to it. And that data is not available yet, but we will be bringing it back to this committee.
Should I really follow the survey? Does that ask for pressure on people? It is an objective question, which is how often does the train get stuck in the tunnel? And what I'm interested in saying is, when you compare the year before, the same month, and how often that happened when we tried to get 29 trains through the tunnel, did we actually see it before the change?
You're bringing back the same data that it brought forward to the committee that said this was our performance. We were only making our scheduled trains about 92% of the time, and we are collecting that same data. It's now been collected, and we're doing the analysis of that. So we'll bring back in addition to this.
I look forward to seeing that as to what options we realistically have for the business, the cars being available for improving service.
This is Matt.
Thank you. Mr. Graham has really very adequately, I think, described the enthusiasm of the district for this proposal, but I would just simply add that I think this need reflects two things. One, ways that we can be innovative in using our system, and two, it responds to the increasing demand for transportation on the off-peak hours. I think this is especially exciting because it allows people to move around the region, at least a portion of it, during off-peak hours, leaving their cars behind. And it's particularly true in the district where the use of a car is becoming increasingly difficult. I think this proposal really responds to the demand of the things that are happening within this community, these neighborhoods and within the region. And I think that's what we ought to be doing. If the demand is there, then we have a goal to really satisfy that demand. So I think this proposal, I support it enthusiastically, and I think it is responsive to what's going on with our riders.
Chairman, I am excited about the red line turnback, and it's something that I have talked about quite a bit, and I know that you too have expressed a considerable interest in seeing that this proposal will go forward. And let me also say to my colleagues in Virginia that I did live in Raleigh for 7 years, and I was at the train commission, and unlike the Washington Post article, I didn't have a car. And I use transit every single day for 7 years. And clearly, I recognize the challenges of being through that portal. But more specifically, and I think we do share the planning committee, I think we, as a system, need to look at across all our systems the challenges that we face. I'm more and more concerned, and it doesn't seem to be getting addressed, about the extensions, not just adults, but also by my newly described interest in extensions to DWI. How everyone's now looking at extensions, but nobody's looking at the core. There's very little focus on throughput in the system. Everybody gets excited about a new station. A new ribbon cutting. I was an elected official. I know how attractive it is to go and have a ribbon cutting to be taken back to your district. I spent 11 years in the state, and I know how to accomplish it. That's very exciting. You know, you go back and you can show people visually what you have done when you get reelected. So I know how that works. But this system has a core that I think my colleague is talking about, and we keep funneling growth. We, you know, I was an advocate for smart growth while it's happening. So we're having all these developments going on at our systems, and yet we had a blue ribbon panel that talked about long-term growth opportunities for resources in this region, and we've gotten some legislative support moving in a couple of jurisdictions to move that. But I think that we're creating our own problem to some degree, and we'll kind of ignore it. And I'm not talking about these proposals.
Oh, yes.
So relax.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This is
so I think at some point, Mr. Chairman, we need to, you know, kind of step back and get to, you know, as we look at our own entire system to examine these issues that are right at our doorstep, and everybody seems to be looking over and not paying the kind of attention that we need to them. And I know how thoughtful you are. We need to do.
Can I just quickly respond, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman? I want to push back a little bit on the notion that we aren't thinking about it, because we really are. We're very concerned about it. We have this mixed blessing, and frankly, it is a blessing that our ridership is increasing. That puts us unique among transit properties. And it's really a reflection of the tremendous economy in this region, the success of the investment. There's a lot to be happy about in seeing all those people going through our turnstiles, but we do have a responsibility, a long-term responsibility, to recognize that we need to address those problems as they develop. I think the year of the bus.
Excuse me, and I'm not suggesting that we're not thinking about it. The point is the rest of the region's not thinking about it
and
not drawing the attention to it. So it's not a question of us not thinking about it. The question is whether or not we can get this thinking at the front of their minds as they're pursuing all these other projects. And that's the challenge.
Right. I think you're right. I think ideas like the year of the bus, looking at our surface transportation system as a way of relieving some of the pressure from the core, core capacity investments, micro-capacity investments, such as the elevators we just added at Ballston, next-order capacity investments such as the Farragut's Tunnel, if we could move forward on a proposal like that, or the Metro Center Gallery Place Tunnel. Those are cost-effective capacity improvements that could happen in the real time while we begin to build the recognition, frankly, the political will, and the resources necessary to look at such long-term investments as another Potomac crossing or something equally expensive and challenging.
Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Litton, a couple months ago now, I guess you came forth and suggested we do the regional bus. Maybe that should be expanded to regional bus and rail, because we haven't looked at the bus routes in every 30 years. I imagine we already haven't looked at redoing the rail for almost as an entirety for as long as we've been here either. So that might be a good way to approach that. But I got, and you know, I certainly, Mr. Graham, would not vote against the District of Columbia spending money for the system. But if I understand this right, we're spending $5.75 million for four stations so people can ride at every 6 minutes instead of 12 off peak. Is that right, Mr. Tengler?
About five stations. You go from Mount Vernon up to Fort Totten.
Well, it's already at Mount Vernon.
Yeah, so they're Fort Totten is the fifth station.
This is the line I ride, and I venture to say more than any other board member here. And most of my rides are off peak, and I've never had a problem getting a seat on any of these on the Green Line train. You know, I won't vote against it, but I just question the wisdom of maybe these four stations we're looking at, and that's why we need someone like Mr. Litton.
Are you voting against the whole proposal?
No, I would not.
Just the young
relax.
Well, there's another point in addition to the.
And my whole point is Mr. Litton came through with a great suggestion several months ago on the regional bus. I just think we have to look at it as a regional thing instead of just individual stations. But, I will not vote against it.
The gentleman said he's not voting against the proposal.
I just had a clarification.
Mrs. Mack.
it's not only that you're reducing the time for the change, but it's that you don't have to transfer. If you're on a line and it ends, then you have to get off and wait for another train. This allows the person to stay on the train and not transfer. So there are two objectives.
Well, and there's a third, if I might add. I thought I covered this.
Mr.
By extending the yellow line to Columbia Heights, for example, you bring in a whole new direction into what's going to be a major retail center in this region. And you also get a connection to National Airport, which last time I looked at the Virginia Station, we don't like to call it Ronald Reagan, but it's still the airport.
That is the
But anyway, the point is that nature affords a vacuum, and I think we're just talking to fill up the time. And I move the previous question.
The previous question has been moved. So the question is on the previous question. Anybody object to the motion on the previous question? That's right. That's right. The question is on the motion to move the previous question. And is there anyone object to moving the previous question? Hearing no objection, the question will be called on the main motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is agreed to. With that, we've concluded our agenda for this morning. The board meets at 11. Are there any other items or information? Would you like a gun? Perhaps we can shoot ourselves at the foot.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Deegan.
Maybe the staff could go through this last map here showing the blue line extension.
I would prefer to put that off when I have the statistics in front of me.
Until we have the data.
Well, why did you send this to me?
The chair hearing no objection. The committee is adjourned and the board will meet at 11. Thank you.